that we need to have that revelation. It's now. Oh my goodness. If you don't have that, you look around this world and this country, and it's terrifying. What is going to happen in a couple of days when that election happens and people are unhappy about that? They got soldiers in place to stop the violence. Things are just crazy out there, friends. You got to know that all is well with your soul, because if it is, then there's nothing to fear. If it's not that way, you need to be terrified. I'm serious, because this is a scary time. Oh, it's so good to have peace, isn't it?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. All is well. Amen. Let's pray. Let's go to prayer. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful, Father, that we can come this morning, Lord, and find a place just out of the world right here, Lord, and just in this little room we're in right now, Father, to know that we are safe, Lord, not because we're in this room, but because we're in you, Father. And when Satan tries to bring fears and doubts and all these things is coming against us, we know that we are his target, Lord, and he's trying to bring all kinds of fear and nervousness and anxiety. And Lord Jesus, we know all is well because we can see your word. We see what you are doing here, Lord. And we know that it's all in your hands, Father, and that we can just rest, Lord. We rest from our works. We rest from our opinions, from our thoughts, from our religion. We rest from it all. We just trust in you, Lord. So this morning I'm asking that you would come and bring glory to yourself, Lord. Let the word come and have the effect that you want it to have, Lord Jesus, that people's hearts could hear it, that they could be, it could be revealed, it could show us, Lord, just what you are doing today and how you see us, how you perceive us, Lord, and that love that you have for us, Lord, surely that'll bring a peace to our hearts. We can say all is well, Lord. So, Lord, we're expecting to hear from you this morning. Won't you come and meet our needs? We ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen. Amen. If you want to read, well, I'm going to read just from Isaiah 61, a couple of verses, and we'll be seated. Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. Oh, I tell you, it's good to be a Christian. My, my. 61, verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God." This morning I want to speak on the thought, the day of God's vengeance. You may have a seat this morning. The day of God's vengeance. I'd also like to read from Genesis. We're going to start preaching here out of Genesis 1. We're going to read verse 26 and 27. Genesis 1, 26. And it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And we recognize now that this was not the physical flesh Adam that was there. This was spirit realm. He created him first because God is a spirit. And when he creates man in his image is spirit. So he created man in his image, which was a spirit man. And it was male and female both in that same spirit before they were separated into the woman and the man. And this was in the image of God, because that's the first creation of man, was in God's image. So that was before he put him into flesh. So then why in the world, what was God's purpose for creating man to begin with? Why would he put him this way? Why did God want man, and why did he start this whole thing going from Genesis down to here where we are now? What was his purpose for being here? And the prophet tells us. He said every son of God and every daughter of God was in God at the beginning. Isn't that something? Oh my. If you were in God at the beginning, you're going to be in God at the end, because you cannot be lost. If you started in God, you're a part of God. I'm getting way off my subject. But if you were a part of God then, you're still a part of God. You always will be a part of God. That's called eternal life. It never started and it never ended. So he said, you were there in that beginning. He said, you don't remember it now, but you were there. He knowed it, and he wanted you to become so he could contact you. He said he wanted you to become. You have became. Here you are. So he could contact you, speak with you, and love you, and shake your hand. God wanted you to be in a situation so he could have fellowship with you. My. He goes on. he says, and as children of God, we are a part of God's attribute that was in him, made flesh like he was made flesh, so we can have fellowship one with the other as a family of God upon the earth. That was God's purpose at the beginning, yes, sir. That's what God wanted at the beginning. God puts his sons here, his attributes, to fellowship with them by hearing his word. This is God's purpose, so we can have fellowship with him. Now, he was in that spirit form, and God was fellowshipping with him, but then he said, no, I need someone to run this earth, to run this. I'm going to give you a whole kingdom. I'm going to put you in flesh so you are God of this whole earth. He said, this is why he did it, so he could have fellowship with man. Based on God's word, hearing his word. That's the key to this, friends. Hang on a second. That's the key to the whole thing, is God wanted fellowship with you. That's why he brings us together like this, to get you away from all the things of the world, put you in church so we can have, so we can be focused more on just this fellowship between God and man. That's what he wanted you for. That's his purpose for you on earth. People say, well, you know, what's my purpose on earth? And people are always looking for, well, who I am? Who am I really? What am I here for? What's the meaning of life? The meaning of life is for you to have fellowship with God. Everything else is periphery. Everything else doesn't even matter. Well, if you don't have that fellowship with God, your life is empty and meaningless. Meaningless. Absolutely. So what did he do? He took 6,000 years to build this perfect paradise, create a perfect paradise so he could put his man in, so and he could have his wife, and he could be together. He could have fellowship with him in this awesome paradise. It was built for perfect fellowship with God, between God and man. That's what it was. It's created so that there would be nothing to interfere between God and his fellowship with his kids. He said he had everything under control. He turned man over into the Garden of Eden on free moral agency. Say, son, it's yours. Now he's on free moral agency. He could choose. God gave that man that choice so that love was not forced on him. Love is a choice. If you don't want to love God, you're not forced to love God. You don't have to. It's a free moral agency choice. You can love God or you cannot. You can believe or you cannot believe. These are the choices you make. But, oh, this is sublime. If you had that seed of God in you, you will end up choosing right, because that seed is stronger than your human mind. That seed is stronger than your own nature. That seed will say, I am going to come to life, because there's something inside that's got to bring forth that life that's in that seed, and it's greater than what Satan has. We're going to find out if that's true or not as we go to this morning. He said, over it all, he placed his beloved children, his son, his daughter, husband, and wife, to control it. God was so satisfied. Huh. He rested from his works. The seventh day, God was so sad. This is what I've longed for. For eternity, I've longed for this, because he was a lonely God. Ain't that incredible? He was lonely without someone to fellowship with. So he said, I want to have kids so I can have fellowship with them. That's why parents have kids, to have fellowship with them. And they get older and they're adults. You can sit around and have fellowship. You know, being the kids is wonderful, but when you're adults, that's when real fellowship is. That's what it's for. Yeah, that's why you have the kids, so you can have them around you. And sometimes it don't work out that way when Satan gets in there. That's all that is. So here he is. God's so satisfied. And what happens? There's this fellow named Lucifer. He don't like it. We call him Satan, right? And he looks at that, and he does not. He wants to be God. He wanted to be God in heaven. He got kicked out of God of heaven because he wanted to be just like God. He wanted to be worshipped. He wanted to exalt himself to a throne where people worship him, where angels, you know, where he had the same thing that God had. And he was right next to him, right there next to him. And it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. So what did he do? He said, he looked at that, what God did. He created this Eden, this paradise. He had family. He says, that's what I want. I want something like that. I want that fellowship with God's kids. I want fellowship with humans just like they have with God. So what did he do? He entered into that paradise and defiled it. What was his purpose? He wants to be God. He wants to be loved. He wants to be worshipped. He wants to be God. This is his whole nature. And you can see that when that nature is in us, we have that same nature. We want to be worshipped. We want to be adored. We want to be special. We want to be lifted up. And that's why our pride lifts us up, because we want people to look at us a certain way and think of us a certain way. None of us say, well, I want to be worshipped like God. No, of course we don't say it. But your own nature does. Just let someone say something to hurt your feelings sometime. How do you react? Well, you can't talk to me that way. Well, why not? Who do you think you are? We like to be special. We like to have that people look at us a certain way. It's our nature. It's our old nature. That's just, everyone's got it. And even after you're born again, you still got it. That still is there playing with you. That's why you have battles in our minds, friends, is because we want to hold a certain position. We like people, you know, we want to be lifted up above people. We want to be a little bit special. We like to be a little bit more spiritual than the next person. We want to have a little bit more good works. We want people look at it and say, wow, you are really a great Christian. Look at your works. You are a Christian. Wow. And we take that glory to ourselves. That's satanic. So he got kicked out of heaven. So what did he do? When God went to take a little rest, his enemy slipped in with deceit and took it over by misinterpreting his program to his children. It's the same today. People say, what does it mean to be a message believer? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to be the bride? And what happens is Satan comes in and misinterprets what it takes to be bride. And pretty soon we're trying to do this, we're trying to do that. If we can live holy enough, if we can have enough manifestation of the Holy Spirit, if we can get anointed enough, if we can preach enough, if we can sing enough, if we can do all this stuff. And it's misinterpreting the program, because all God wants you to do is live a normal life. Just be normal. Don't make yourself odd. The prophet said, don't make yourself religious. Don't make yourself odd. Don't try to impress somebody. Don't try to be spiritual. Don't do all these things that is Satan's program to get you to defy yourself by mixing the word. Because what you have to have is the pure word in order to be the bride today. That's why the seals were open. That's what that's all about. So God, his program was fellowship by his word. Satan wanted the same thing. He gained fellowship with man by misquoting God's word and getting Eve to accept it. And so he now had fellowship with her through God's misquoted word. He's been doing it ever since. He takes God's word, he twists it around, he gets fellowship with man because they like his version of it better than they like God's version of it. That's why we have all these denominations, have all these people. I'm not preaching about Baptists and Methodists. I'm talking about message believers who have done the same thing. They twisted this word, and they made something, a program they liked better than God's program. And they're wonderful people. They're sitting in message churches. They're preaching in message pulpits, and they're singing message songs. They're doing everything, and yet they're the twin. And it's so close, they cannot tell the difference. And the prophet said, only the elect can tell the difference between the two spirits, because they're both anointed by the Holy Spirit, but one has a spirit of Satan and it's self-exaltation, and one has a spirit of Jesus Christ and you exalt him. There is a difference. And Satan took that, and he get that fellowship with human beings by misquoting God's word, and they loved him for it. They don't have to die to that old nature. They can be a good Christian and still keep that self-exaltation. Look at me. Hybriding the word appealed to Eve's desire for knowledge. He took possession of God's paradise, of God's earth, what he had created here. Why? How did he do it? By getting mankind to accept his word over God's word. And that gave him ownership. Breaking the fellowship with his kids. And what God wanted more than anything else was that fellowship with his kids. And Satan came into his paradise and defiled it and took his fellowship away from his kids. And so God could not fellowship anymore like he did with Adam and Eve before the fall, because there is sin and God can't fellowship with sin. So he gave him a substitute. Hey, here's the blood of bulls and goats. We're going to have this. And so I can accept you from a distance. I can't have that fellowship I did before because you have sin in your heart. You still are a sinner, but I can still fellowship. You're still my kids and I'm still going to save you. But that fellowship was broken. What? That original image that God had created, man in his image, he put that image into flesh. That image within that flesh was not defiled. He cannot have fellowship with that image or that spirit like he had before. That's what the biggest problem was. That's where God wants. Sure, God can come down. He can come down here and fellowship with you sitting here. But if the image of him is not in you that was supposed to be there, that fellowship is warped. It's tainted. It's not what God desires. So he said, by this fall, he took over and possessed the Garden of Eden himself. Satan, he took it over. And now he had 6,000 years of deceitful rule, deceiving the people, God's children, as he did then, because they were based on free moral agency to act any way they wished to. And so Satan's goal, oh my,
Satan's goal is to prove to God that your kids love me more than they love you. And he's had a wonderful success doing it. He's come in here and taken the human race and proving to God for 6,000 years, they worship me, they love me more than they love you. Just spitting it in God's face. It's like if you had a girlfriend, right? And your best friend comes along and steals her away from you, and he walks up and down the sidewalk in front of your house like, see who I got? See this? Used to be your girlfriend, didn't it? Yeah, well, she loves me now. And he just taunting God and walking back and forth. You know where he does it at? In church. That's where he's taunting God, message churches. God have mercy. How many people are going to stand on judgment day and say, God, I was a message believer? God going to say, I didn't know you. Your fellowship was with my enemy. Used to be my best friend. Now he became my enemy and he stole my bride from me all the way down through time. It's right among us, friends. That false thing has to be here. It has to be deceptive. The only way it can be deceptive is if it comes calling itself message. Just give them what they want. This is what they do. You know, this is where they're really, really out there. You know, I work with, you know, field where we help parents raise their kids, right? And we tell them, just give them what they want. It's the most perverted thing you've ever seen. Just, if you give the kid what they want, they'll be happy. That's the biggest lie that ever was told. That does not make a kid happy. You know what makes a kid happy? Boundaries. It makes them feel safe because their subconscious telling me, mama said no because she cares enough to say no. But if mama don't care enough to say no, she don't care enough. Boy, we got it twisted out there. That's exactly what's coming across the pulpit. You can live where you want. You gave your heart to Jesus. You can be what the Christian you want to be. Just make them happy. You fill up the churches like that. You fill them up. You fill up, you know, people come and they love that kind of religion because I can keep my little favorite addiction, my little favorite thing over here. I can still exalt myself and still be a Christian. Liars in the pulpit heaping hell onto themselves. Satan had succeeded in perverting and taking over this world and making it his kingdom. That man was put on by free moral agency to choose for themselves what kind of life they desired. That shows what's in your heart. Friends, when you came to this earth, you came shaped in sin. You came as sinner. You came with the nature of Satan. And it shows what's in your heart. And you choose for yourself what kind of life you desire. And so the only way that you can make that right choice and really make it stick is if there's something inside you that's greater than that old nature. And you must come as that elected person or it will never be there. Because it's the word coming, connecting with the word that's already in there. But if that word is not already in there, there's nothing in there to believe with. You cannot believe God's revelation because there's nothing there to believe it. And you will hear that word and it will make you, oh, I want to be a Christian, sure. And you decide to be a Christian and you can be a Christian and you can be saved, but you can't be elect. You cannot elect yourself. That choice is not yours. You just come to a place where you recognize that I always was a Christian. I always was elect. I just come to recognize that I always was a part of God. I will always be a part of God. And that makes it the difference. And friends, that's where your faith is based on. Not because, well, I chose something. Because that's just in your mind. You just recognize that you always were a child of God. That's why you could be born again, because you always were a child of God. Oh my, Satan hates that. He hates that because he can't do anything against to stop it. Oh, Satan establishing his kingdom in the earth. For he wants to establish your own kingdom. That's what he done. So Satan got possession. He went about building his own paradise where people would love and worship him. He's had 6,000 years to build his own Eden, and we are in the midst, the very epitome, the top of Satan's Eden. Ain't it a great place? Well, if you're a sinner, it is. If you're a Christian, this is gross darkness. It's the most horrible place. But as the more Satan comes to his epitome, the more he brings darkness, there's an equal amount of light shining, because darkness can't put out light. And so the darker it gets, the brighter the light shines. Oh, my. So he's perfected it. God allowed it. He said, okay, Satan, you won it fair and square in the Garden of Eden. You won this from me. Yes, you did. You got my kids to fall. Go ahead. Do what you can do. I'm going to give you the same amount of time I had to build my paradise. Build yours. And he's done it. He's had marvelous success. That's what the prophet said. And what's he doing? He's strengthening himself. He's accumulating his forces. He's turned 200 million demons loose against you and me, the bride. You wonder why you have so much oppression? Wonder why you have so much anxiety? Why you go through the battles and temptations? Because you are his number one target, friends. He ain't worried about the people he's already got. He needs to stop you. Because if he can stop you, the rapture don't happen. He has longer to live, but he knows he can't. I mean, when he's honest with himself, he can't be honest with himself. He said, no, I can still stop this. I can still stop this. But when you remind him, no, you can't. Boy, that makes him mad. He can't stop it. But he's trying. He's united his forces under his dominion. He's going to have a one-world government after a while. He's going to get all the religions together, all united in one, because when you come in unity, you're very strong. That's where to strengthen him. That's why God had to separate him at the Tower of Babel. He said, man puts their mind together, they can do whatever they want. And he's getting really close, really close. Taunting God, displaying his Christians and his churches with all the little nice, beautiful names that we call ourselves. He's in God's way. I've defiled every church, every people, every age since Eden. I formed your people into my image. Just as God created man in his own image, Satan has said, now I've taken you that image and I've made him into my image. Because they have my nature. And look at what they're doing out there, how they're defiling themselves. Physically, it's gone beyond just the mind, just the spirit. But they're taking their bodies and destroying their bodies. They're defiling themselves with what they're doing, all the stuff they're doing, you know what I'm talking about. The tattoos and the piercings and the hair and the different, making as unnatural as can be. And when they're doing that, friends, what they're doing is they're literally making themselves an image of demons. Those are the things that demons look like. If you can see demons, what people are trying to do is make themselves look like the demons that they're worshiping. And then it gets in God's face and says, see how they love me? See how they worship me? They call me by your name, and yet they love me more than they love you. And God has had to take it for all these years. He just has to take it. Why has Satan done this? He has worked through the ministry to do it, as God promised he would do. He began by a religious deceit in Eden and has continued ever since. And that's where it really becomes so deceptive, because it is through religion. Can you look around the political landscape right now? You've probably heard this. There was a rally going on here a while back. And during this rally, someone shouted something like, Jesus is Lord. And the person who was speaking said, that person must be at the wrong rally. That wasn't welcome there. There was another rally that same day, I believe it was. And then that one, someone also said the same thing, Jesus is Lord. And the person said, yes, he is. Jesus is Lord. And the place went crazy. He said, well, that's a much better idea. It is. It's wonderful. But what are you seeing, friends, is the church coming to such a power, she's going to take complete control of this nation and through the image of the beast, the whole world. and give all the power of this nation into the hand of the beast. And what's it going to come through? Through Christianity. This is how they're going to take over. That's the image to the beast. And that's what the denominations and all are doing. And they're coming to such a power that they have such an influence on this election right now that if Trump gets elected, it's because the church put him there. That's what's going on, friends. And we know that to be true because it says so in the Bible. And the prophet told us that's what's going to happen. That's what's happening right now. The church has taken so much power that she's going to run everything. He said, well, that's not bad. It is when it's actually Satan behind it. That's not Jesus Christ behind that. That's people being deceived and following Satan and worshiping Satan in the name of Christianity. That's the age we live in. Friend, if we're right there, how close does a rapture have to be? Because that church is going to bring a squeeze against you and me, and it's going to squeeze us right out of here. That's what's going to happen. That's what we're watching happening. Oh, for people who walk away from the message, for people who see what the prophet said, and they look at that, and they say, well, he was a false prophet. How can you see that what's happening and say he was false? He said this stuff 60, 70, however many years ago, and now it's happening, and we're watching it happen right in front of our eyes. My, that's exciting. What a time to be a born-again believer. He said, well, what about that? What are you supposed to do? Just follow, be led by the Holy Spirit. That's all you have to do. He'll tell you what to do. There's nothing to fear. Didn't you just sing a song, All Is Well? Well, were you singing as a hypocrite or did you believe it? All is well. We're seeing because of this part is being fulfilled, the rest of it has to be fulfilled, and he's going to take us out of here in a rapture. All is well. Oh, how dare you be afraid or fearful or anything like that. Don't even give place to that devil. He said, again, it is religious sin as at the beginning, so deceitful. It's not just purely, oh, everyday sin, committing adultery and getting drunk, using God's name in vain. That's not it. That's not deceptive. That's not going to get you to question the prophet. That's not going to get you to question if you are born again. That's not going to get you to that. What is when Satan comes in there and uses religion to try to deceive you. Well, you know, you're still a pretty good person, you know. You're good. Well, you know, what are you all concerned about? Yeah, that's Satan. You should not be concerned, not because you're a pretty good person. You should be concerned because you see Jesus Christ has changed your life. That's why we're not concerned about it. What's the denomination trying to do? Exalt itself like Lucifer. They so call themselves the church, the bride, which they are in Revelation 17. They're spoken of the false bride. He exalts himself above Christ's little flock, the bride. Lucifer thinks and exalts himself above the humble word of God's truth by the knowledge of the revelation. So what does he do? He gets into some of these message preachers, and they get behind the pulpit, and they have the knowledge of the mysteries. They have the knowledge of the revelation. They have the knowledge of what the prophet spoke, and they preach a message. They preach a religion that exalts everybody. They exalt themselves, and they exalt the people, so you don't have to die to yourself. Just believe what I'm preaching. Just be spiritual. Just be anointed. Just do signs and wonders, but don't have to die to yourself. You know what it is that you're dying to yourself most of the time, friends? It's your feelings. We could sit on that for a while. Why is it hard to die? Because it's your feeling about that situation that you have to die to. Well, I don't like the way you preach, Brother Phil. I don't like the way Brother Jerry preaches. That's just a feeling. Get over that feeling and go on with Christ. Satan's religion is based on feelings, and I feel spiritual because I understand the mysteries, and I can look down on the Baptists because they don't understand it, and I know more than you, and I'm more educated, and I'm theologically, I know more than someone else, and I have a greater gift, and I can manifest these gifts more than someone else. It's just a feeling. But when you will put all that aside and say, Jesus Christ, you're the only purpose in my life, and let that be no matter what feelings happen. Brother Branham said, be burly and you can't get your feelings hurt. Oh, hallelujah. Be burly and you can't get your feelings hurt. And then you're not. He said, therefore, you will not be affected by the scandals of man. And what does that mean? When something's running through the church and it's based on feelings and it's a scandal. But if you won't get your feelings hurt, you'll ignore that no matter what someone says, no matter what's happening. You say, I will not be affected by my feelings because I have died to myself. That puts you in the rapture. Because that can only come, friends, when you are born again and that seed of God inside of you says, you're not going to be subject to that old nasty nature. You're not going to be subject to how you feel. You're not going to be subject to that because the love of me is greater than your love for yourself. That's what it's about, friend. It's always a love story. When you get something besides love, you get to say, well, is this right or wrong? Is this right or wrong? You're on the wrong ground. Get back to, do you love God? What does your relationship with Christ, what's it about? What's it based on? It's because, why do you not want to do that? Because it interferes with my relationship with Christ. Everything else is just religion, and God ain't accepting it. When I act a certain way and it intervenes with my relationship with Christ and it kind of puts something in there and all of a sudden something's wrong there, brother and sister, I need to repent as quick as I can because I am wrong. But Brother Paul said this about me. I don't care what he said about me. I am the one who's wrong if I let it intervene with my relationship with Christ. But it hurt my feelings. It's still my fault. You mean he should be able to say anything he wants? Yeah, he can because God allows him to. I hope it's okay for me to pick on you, Brother Paul. Just be nicer to me. God allowed that to happen, friends. Why? To expose our own nature still running our lives, still having so much control. So he allows someone to do something. And get you tore up about something. He did that on purpose. Why? Because he loves you, and he wants that relationship restored, that perfect image restored. And when in our mind we still react the wrong way to what's going on, then that image is still being marred. But brother and sister, when we will get all that junk out of our mind and just let the love of God be expressed through us. Whew. All God wants is a relationship. Quit offering him religion. He just wants that image restored where him and you and him can have that fellowship. And here's the great part about it. Brother and sister, when you have been birthed by the word of this age, not the word of some other age, but when the word of this age, you've been birthed by that, you have been restored to that image because that is a pure word. You are a virgin bride in that image. Stop looking at your flesh and judging your relationship by your flesh. It's judged by the word that's in your soul. And God looks at that and he says, you are the pure virgin bride. And he said, when that happens, you come in the very image of him. You and Christ have become so one, he called you himself. You are in his image. But friends, when Satan just points at your mind, what's going on in your mind, he points at your flesh, what's going on in here, it gets so discouraged. I still have this problem, and I still have this problem. You know what you need to do? Do what the word says to do. Repent and believe what he says about you, which is that you are his virgin bride. I keep making mistakes. Well, praise the Lord for the blood of Jesus Christ. He knows you're making mistakes. He knows our feelings. He knows how hard it is to get over our feelings. He had to do the same thing. He ain't kicking you down when you make mistakes. He's not kicking you around. You'll say, well, you come to church and you preach so hard against. That I'm preaching against is your old nature, not your new nature. So if your old nature don't like the preaching, you need to praise God because you can tell the difference. And that's my old nature, but my new nature loves that God comes and cares enough to say no. Can't get over how wonderful this story, what he has done. Who could put this together? You think some sixth grade educated prophet put this together? Come on. This is so great. It's the greatest story that's ever been told. Try to figure it out in your mind. You'll go bonkers. Just sit back and allow it to be. There is the God of this world that I preached to you about last Sunday. Here he is today in deceit. Listen to this. That treacherous hour, that tremendous time that we're living, it's the most glorious time of all ages. Right here in the middle of Satan's Eden, it's the most glorious time. It's the most treacherous time. It's the most glorious time. Talking about Satan, he said he's gathered it all together, reinforced himself, and come down like God, has put himself in place of God. Religious can quote the scripture and can tell you the scripture just as Satan did to Eden in the Garden of Eden, but he leave out one spot of it. It's all you have to do. He leaves out one part or adds one little word. It takes something, just change it a little bit so that what does it do? It changes the nature of Christ. That's the problem. See, people say, well, I got to get every word, word by word. Yeah, but what happens if you get it right, you see the nature of Christ in you. If it's not, it's a different nature. So you got to look at what's actually happened, what's going on in your life, what's coming out of your soul, and that tells you whether or not you are getting it right or not. Let me skip ahead a little bit so I don't take too long today. Now, he said he would exalt himself above the Most High. He would ascend above the clouds and the stars. He would sit like God, be above the Most High. You can see that in Isaiah 14. He has succeeded in carrying out his threats. He has certainly had a marvelous success in carrying out his threats by the people letting him explain away in every age the value of God's promised word to that age. That's exactly how he's done it. He explained it away. Look at the Laodicean church age. She, Eve, is sitting as Satan's queen. She is rich in worldly goods, blind, naked again, and don't know it, just like it was in God's Eden. Satan's queen is not the folks you see that we call sinners out on the street. That's not his queen. Satan's queen is not the Baptist and the Methodist and the denominational people out there on the street. Got those. That doesn't taunt God. Satan's queen sits in message churches. Brother Bram said, just like the branches are entwined in the two trees. He talked about the trail of the serpent, the two twins, all the way from Eden up to now. And she's sitting in his message churches, taunting him. I can be a message believer. I can do what I want. I can believe what I want. I can have my own religion. I can find a preacher who will preach me happy. There's plenty of message preachers out there who will preach you anything you want to hear. Just get online and listen to some of them. It'll make you sick. You know, the vision Brother Branham had, I'm sure I mentioned this before, but let me go through it again. He had a vision. He said, we're going to have a review of the bride. He saw the bride coming. She was the most beautiful, godly-looking bunch of women. He said, now we're going to see the church. And what came up was a bunch of mostly naked, dancing to rock and roll, painted all up, haircut and everything. Just a bunch of prostitute-looking people. He said, this is the church. And Brother Branham got so discouraged. He said, is this the best that we could do to present a church to Christ? These people that we're seeing in that second group, they were the church. They were the people called themselves message believer because he said, this is what my ministry has produced. And they look just like you do, and they act just like you do, but in the spirit realm, in that image, they're stripped down prostitutes. They're Satan's queen. She's sitting right among us, the two spirits in the same framework of the same church. One of them is born again. One of them is spawn of Satan. They're serpent seeds sitting right among us. And they look like you, and they act like you, and they quote like you, and they preach, and they do all these things, and they don't know that they're deceived. They don't know they're deceived because that's what deception means. You don't know you're wrong. In every age, he's got her. God brings a new life. He brings more truth, and they're walking that truth, and then Satan gets them defiled, and they go back into denomination. It's happened that all the way down through until this age. We had a prophet came along. He prophesied, said, this age, she won't do it. This age, she will keep herself pure. This age, she will not mix seed. And you know what your privilege is? Your right is you get to fulfill that prophecy. What a time to be alive. He said, well, what does this have to do with God's vengeance? Right? I've preached all this time and never got to God's vengeance. God took 6,000 years to produce a paradise. Satan came in and defiled it by getting the fellowship of those people to him. Satan's had 6,000 years to create or form his own Eden. And God's vengeance is, I'm going to enter into your paradise and get my fellowship back. How does he do it? By the restored word. Because that's how Satan got it, to twist the word, to hybrid the word. He said, I'm going to bring the pure word back, and my bride is going to hear that and believe it, and it's going to seal them away, and you're not going to be able to hybrid this word. So let me go back. I'm going to read out of Luke 4. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom, went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood to read. I'm going to just skip down a little bit because I'm running out of time. He reading out of Isaiah, what we just read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captive, recovering the sight of the blind, to set of them liberty that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And in the middle of the verse, he stopped. He closed the book and gave it again to the minister, sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue fastened on him. He began to say to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So why did he stop in mid-sentence? Brother Branham tells us. He said, our Lord is reading from Isaiah 61:1-2, but in the middle of the second verse, he stopped where it said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the acceptable year. Then he stopped. Why? The other part, to bring judgment, which said the day of God's vengeance, didn't apply to his first coming, but his second coming. So he stopped there because he knew that that was what he was supposed to fulfill then. The second part, the day of God's vengeance, is to be fulfilled now. So he said, well, what does that look like? Let's read and find out. Isaiah 61:2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, that's where he stopped. The next part says, and the day of vengeance of our God. And then he describes what that day of vengeance looked like. And you would think he would say, well, let me read it, right? To comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, they shall raise up the former desolations, they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. What is that? He's talking about a complete restoration. Verse 6, and ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. In their glory shall you boast themselves. How is that vengeance? How is that judgment? It seems like he should say, the day of vengeance, I'm going to strike them with plagues. They're going to have earthquakes. There's going to be wars. I'm going to send all this, plagues among them and just give them a hard time, send fire from heaven, send hailstones to stone them to death. That's not what he said at all. Well, how was that vengeance? What's he avenging? He's avenging Satan's defilement of his relationship with his kids. He said, I am coming into your Eden, and I'm restoring that image. Well, then you can't do anything about it, because I'm going to prove to you that my kids love me more than they love you. There's his vengeance. Look at these things that you get as part of his vengeance. You get comfort from mourning, beauty for ashes, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that called the trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. What is it? It's restoring the image that you were supposed to have from the very beginning. And he's coming into Satan's Eden. He said, my vengeance is I'm taking my bride back, and she's pure, and you never defiled her, and I'm walking up and down through your Eden, and I'm praising, I'm taunting you by look at my bride, and here she is, and she's pure and undefiled, and you can't stop it. You've been called to be the expression of God's vengeance to prove to Satan that he has restored the image of God. And because that image is restored, he has fellowship with you, just like Adam and Eve had at the beginning. That's his vengeance.
Oh, my.
Praise the Lord. Look what he asked you. He's ordained you. This is your purpose, to prove to Satan that you're a bride that he can't touch. Oh, he said, why do we have so many hardships? Why do we go through so many trials? Because that's what it takes to die to yourself so that the image of Christ can be expressed. That's what it's about, friends. Nothing you've gone through has been in vain. Nothing has been like, oh, that shouldn't have happened. Yes, it was all supposed to be there so that you could die to your feelings and let Christ express himself to what? To Satan himself. Oh, he said, have you considered my servant Job? Satan said, well, of course, you so do all that you have for Job, but you go ahead and let me touch him, and he will curse you. And Job proved that's not true, and the same thing is happening. He said, have you considered my bride in this day? And he said, yeah, because you have a hedge around him. He said, turn 200 million demons loose on her and see what she does. See if she will fall. See if she will hybrid herself. And he's gotten this one and that one and this one and that one. He's got preachers going this way. He's got the people going all this and believing every kind of filthy ideas and doctrine around this message. But there's that little core group, that little individual here, an individual there, and a little individual there, and a preacher over here, and a piano player over here. And Satan says, what is wrong with that person? I've offered them everything. They should have failed. They should have accepted it. They should have loved me. And Jesus said, all my Father hath given me will come, and I will not lose a one. He has confidence in his word that his word will come to pass, and his bride has the same faith of the Lord Jesus, and she knows his word will come to pass, and she is walking through Satan's Eden as a bright light, and every demon sees her and hates her and comes against her and harasses her and tries to do all he can to destroy her. And look at some of us, how close we were to crossing that line, how close we were to just completely giving up and walking away. And some of us actually did. We gave up and walked away, but he was not depending on my mind. He wasn't depending on my ability. He wasn't depending on my love. He said, but there's something inside that must come to life, and it will, because it's me, and my word cannot fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but that seed will come to life. And once it's alive, you can't keep it out of a rapture. This is the day of God's vengeance. Because this is as dark as this world has ever been, and yet he can't put out your light. And right there in front of him, in his vengeance, in Satan's Eden, he sees you worshiping God. He sees you loving God. He sees you dying to yourself. He sees you doing the things that the word says you would do, and he just goes crazy. That's why he's upset. That's why he's raging to and fro like a lion. Because he knows that his time is short, because the more he sees light in you, the brighter your light gets, the darker he knows. He knows it's just really coming time. And these things scare him. And you know what? He can't help himself. He said, if we would just quit tormenting the bride and not, you know, and stop making it hard on her, then they would not continue to grow in Christ. He can't. It's like telling a pig, quit wallowing in the mud. It's his nature. Demons are tormentors by nature. They can't help themselves. Just like you look at some of the things in your own nature, you couldn't help yourself. You love the things of the world. You did the things of the world. And that nature had to be changed. But Satan's nature don't get to be changed, and neither do his demons. That's why some of the things we go through, it's the ease, the softness. He tried to make it as soft and easy as he could on us so that we wouldn't have to go through the trials that mold our character, so we can just be a good, soft Laodicean Christian. And God said, yeah, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to do things that just going to destroy you. I'm going to take away your kids. I'm going to take away your jobs. I'm going to take away your families. I'm going to do all the things I have to do. I'm going to have troubles through the church. I'm going to, that little place in Dixon, you've heard of that little place in Dixon, Lucifer? Well, you know what? They're going to go through pastor after pastor over the next 60 years until they finally get one that's actually born again. And by that time, they're going to be so spiritually damaged that it looks like a hospital in there, everyone in the intensive care ward. But you just watch what happens. Oh, my. Hallelujah. You watch what comes out of Dixon. I got a surprise for you, Satan, because you said, can any good thing come out of Dixon? Stand over in the corner and watch. I'm going to rapture some of my bride out of that filthy place called the Message Church in Dixon, because I'm going to clean it up and I'm going to bring people out of there. Let that sink in, what he is doing in our midst. Oh, God's saying, I will have fellowship with my family. I am going to restore that image. I'm going to restore that fellowship. He's going to prove to Satan. He's going to prove to Satan who God really is. Oh, my. Let me finish up. What would God call a people out of this evil age for? For his name? The reason is to try her, his bride. When she is made manifest, been tried, been proven, proved to Satan, like it was at the beginning, so shall it be at the end. It's to try her, to prove to Satan. God is looking at you and say, I'm going to use you to prove to Satan that my word is true. That's what you're here for. That's what he has ordained you to do, is to prove to Satan. So he's taking you right up against Satan and said, Satan, see this person? Their purpose in life is to prove to you that my word is true. Have at him. Have at him. But he, of course, he stops it. He don't let him take your life or whatever. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he lets him take your life because your purpose has been served. But he makes sure that Satan can only operate within the parameters God allows him to. He does. Because nothing can come on you that God can't control. And so when something bad happens, we call it bad. Instead of whining and crying, we should be praising God. It's incredibly hard to do. How do you praise God in the midst of your grief, in the midst of your sorrow, in the midst of the fear and all that? Well, this is how you do it. You look at what God's purpose is in your life and say, Jesus Christ, you know about this. You knew this was going to happen. And so I know you brought me this far. You're going to bring me the rest of the way, so I'm going to praise you in the storm. Oh, it's easy. Come here in the atmosphere and sing these wonderful songs of worship. Do you sing them when you're in the midst of your trial? Or do you moan and complain? If you do, don't worry. You're going to stop. Because that attitude ain't going in the rapture. No, sir. You're going to be a manifested child of God in this life. Don't worry, it's coming. We find out this evil age is to prove to Satan, she is not like Eve. She is not that type of a woman. What type of woman? Someone who would mix seed. We're not going to do it. And she will be tried by his word, the bride, as Adam's bride was tried by the word. Adam's bride believed every bit of the word, but confused on one promise that he was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Failed on one promise under the temptation of the enemy face to face. Now the people that call for his name, of course, is his bride. She is to come in contact again by the same thing, not by just denominational truth or something, but every word. She is going to be tried face to face. You're going to stand there, and the temptation is going to come, and they're going to say, will you believe every word, or will you compromise on something for your family's sake? Will you compromise on something for your feelings' sake? Will you compromise on something for your job? Will you compromise on something so you don't have to be persecuted? Will you compromise on something so that you can have your own idea, your own theology, so you can feel like you're a little bit more spiritual than somebody else? Will you compromise on it because you cannot make sense of what the prophet said? That's one of the big things going through the message right now, if you didn't know it. People say, I will stay with the prophet as long as he stays in the Bible. You just left the Bible. Because you think your theology is greater than the prophet's. I would love to have that, see you have that conversation. Brother Branham, I know you're the prophet, and I know you had the greatest ministry that's ever been on earth beside Jesus Christ. And in fact, some of his ministry through you was greater than when he was here on earth, and now you have a great relationship with Jesus Christ, but I can straighten you out on some of your doctrines because I can't find it in the Bible. And they would never say that, but their actions speak louder than words, and that's exactly the attitude they have. Foolishness. You're going to be tried, friends, face to face. Face to face with that same demon that came to Eve. As an individual, you have to know where you're standing. You have to know that this is a revelation you're standing, not just a doctor. Well, I'm a good person. I'm a message believer. I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It means nothing. Oh, it means a little bit. No, it doesn't. The prophet said it means nothing. But I had a great experience. Means nothing. It's built on revelation. Now, if a revelation came with that, that revelation means a lot, but the experience means nothing. We keep telling young people, you got to have experience, but then we tell them it's some kind of physical sensation or something. That experience is a revelation of Jesus Christ speaking to you and telling you who you are. Image, the pure word, the opening of the seals, restored the pure word that can restore the pure image. You never did it in the first place. What part? Not the flesh, not the mind, that soul. Because see that soul that was quickened, that was brought to life, it wasn't your old soul made over. It's a brand new creation that never did it. That soul is just as pure as Adam's was before the fall. It doesn't need to be forgiven. There's nothing to forgive it. It doesn't need the blood to cover it because it never did anything to begin with. And when you get to that point, the promise is he's going to bring that, restore that fellowship first, and then he's going to bring the rest of your body into subjection to that. And it's going to come with a body change. It's going to come with all the word that has to be fulfilled. But you got to start there. You got to start with that image being restored first in your soul. That is what we're doing now. And when we get that and we keep maturing, we keep ripening, we come to a place where it brings us to a body change. It's guaranteed. If you are born again right now, it is guaranteed you have a rapture coming. You got a body change coming. It's guaranteed. Satan can't stop it. Your own unbelief in your mind can't stop it. You say, well, unbelief? Yeah, because in our mind we struggle. We have doubts. We have fears. We have all this stuff going on. But that's all in your mind because there's only one channel to your soul. That's faith or doubt. That's your free moral agency. And once that soul has been sealed away, it's impossible for unbelief to get in there because that is a mixed seed. It can't do it. That Satan seed trying to get in can make you doubt. And it'll get in your mind all the time. Go ahead and stand so we can quit. But it'll get in your mind all the time, friends, and you'll fight those doubts, and you'll fight those temptations, and you'll fight those fears, and you'll fight that unbelief. But recognize, friend, it's just in your mind. It cannot get down into your soul once that soul has been sealed away and that soul has never sinned to begin with. Brother, your shirt says it's not religion, it's a relationship. I should have wore that. That's exactly what I've been preaching the whole morning. That's what it is, friends. It's your relationship with God. All he wants is fellowship. And we want to offer how holy we live or how good we are, how much I pray, how much I go to church, and how much I give him the offering. And he says, that's good. I accept that. If you had the relationship first, if you don't have that first, he don't accept any of that. He don't accept all our religion. He don't accept our tithe. He don't accept anything. If you don't have, I mean, as far as being born again, you have to be born again first, and then you do all the rest. But we get that other stuff first, and then we miss out on the main thing, which is fellowship with Jesus Christ. My. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm a happy person right now. And I know when I go out of here today, by the time I go to bed, I'm going to fight how many demons, how much oppression, whatever's going to come against me. But you know what? That's okay. Because you know what? I know this for a fact. Satan can't stop me from going into rapture. And if I need to go through these trials right now, I need to go through whatever it is. That's okay too. Because God's in control. And he will allow the things to happen that he wants to happen to mold me into what he wants me to be, to express Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful, Father, you would come this morning. Thank you for the attentive people to speak to, Lord, and the anointing you give for all of us, Lord, to hear the word and to speak it. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that you would just open this up and show who we are, Father, to a greater degree than before. Let this word sink in, Father. Let it fall into good ground. Let it be watered with praise and belief. Let the faith be anchored, Lord Jesus, and bring forth the expression, Lord, of what you want from us. Father, the more we walk in this world, we see how dark it is. We see all the things going on around us. Oh, Father, it just makes us cling to you that much greater because we see the end is so close. The time is so short, and Satan is trying so hard. But you said, I'm going to use you to prove to Satan that you love me, that my word is true. And here we are, you getting your vengeance in Satan's Eden by having a bride without spot or without wrinkle. Oh, Father, what a privilege. What a privilege to see this, Lord. Oh, if it would just sink down and just become so real, how it would change our lives, Lord. How it will change our lives when we see this greater and greater. Bless this group of people in Dixon. Bless the ones who aren't here, Father. We just lift them all up to you now, Lord Jesus, to meet our needs, Father. We all have so many needs. We have people who need a closer walk. We all need a closer, but Father, we need people, Lord, and they need to be born again. We need people who need to know you as a revelation, not just to the theology. We have healings need to take place. We have deliverance from all kinds of oppressions and different things, Lord, going on. Father, come and meet these needs. You promised to do it. We have complete confidence knowing you will do this, Lord, because it's your word. How I thank you for this, Lord Jesus. In your name I ask this all. Amen.